Dear listeners, how are you today? We are here, Dennis, Francesca, and the new guest, Edward. Dennis, would you like to introduce our new guest this week?
With pleasure, Francesca, because our new guest, I think, he's doing so many things. He's an actor, he's a dancer, he's singing, he's cooking. Probably there are some other hidden talents as well. We are very glad that you are here, Edward, today. So yeah, please tell the listeners a little bit about you and how your life in Darwin started.
So yes, my name is Edward Ocampo, and some call me EC, and then that's why I have my channel Take It Easy. And yeah, I've been in Darwin for 12 years. It's my 13th year now. And well, actually, I lived in Melbourne for 4 years, so yeah, total 13 years in Australia. And man, this is a beautiful country, especially Darwin. Darwin is like a good community. I mean, like, it's a community-driven place, like, you know. And it's not just like, for me, as I'm a Filipino as well, and it's not just about being Filipino, but it's being like a whole community as Darwin, like, you know, because it's like a very much multicultural here in Darwin. And that's one thing I love about Darwin. And one thing I couldn't, like, you can't find it anywhere, like, not even down south or anything. But that's why I love Darwin, because of that.
So yeah, I read before I came to Darwin that Darwin is like Australia's door to Asia, because there are so many Asian cultures. So would you agree with that? And if so, do you have mostly contact only with your Filipino community, or do you also try to involve yourself with other cultures?
So yes, I totally agree with that, like Darwin's being the melting pot and the gateway to Asia, because I mean, like, flight to Bali from Darwin's only like, I don't know, an hour and a half, like 2 hours max. And for me, it's like the closest to my home place as well. Like, flight from Darwin to Manila before, we had, when we had like direct flights, it's actually only 3 hours and 30 minutes. And Darwin to Melbourne, it takes you like 4 hours plus. So I was like, I mean, it's crazy like how big Australia is. Like, you know, I mean, like from, that's why Asia is so probably closer to Darwin than the rest of Australia. That's what I could agree on. And that's why the weather is so perfect. Well, at times it is perfect. We could agree on that one. So yeah, and it's like a melting pot of different cultures, especially Asians, because actually you can see the in the food as well, like, you know, I mean, like, how diverse the food culture here in Darwin is. Like, you will find anywhere, like, you go to any malls here in Darwin, like any shopping centers, you will find either it's going to be like a Chinese takeaway shop, or a Thai shop, or a kebab, or like a pizza shop. Like, you know, it's everything. And for me before, I thought it was like, oh, this probably going to be like, it's hard for me to what do you call this, to adapt to the palate of the, like, how Australians eat. But mamma mia, it's actually like, no, I mean, like, it's actually like it's served to you in a plate already. It's like international food all together in one. So that's why I believe like it's a good place to be, and the food actually speaks for itself, how diverse Darwin culture is and how lucky we are here. And what's your other question
about do you involve yourself?
So yeah, definitely, like, before, like, the first when the first years here in Darwin, there's not much there's not much Filipinos here, like, that came from Philippines. But there's heaps of Filipinos already here that they were living here for like 20 plus years already, and including my relatives. But that's why for me it was a struggle at first. Like, well, it was only a struggle for like the first 2 weeks, like, you know, because it's like, what do you call this, when I went here, like, after 2 weeks we were starting to go to school already. I went to CSE straight away, and for me, like, it was a bit of culture shock, like, seeing lots of different people, like, you know, like, I'm just used to going to school. Imagine if you're at a school, like, in a span of a month, the first 2 weeks of your school, or the first week of your school, you were your Filipino classmates, and after 2 weeks, you end up being lots of different cultures. I was a bit skeptic first, like, you know, how to interact with them, how to show myself, like, you know, how am I gonna introduce myself to them. But, well, good thing, like, I knew some Filipinos that grew up here, and then my some of my relatives introduced me to them. And yeah, that's why I try to, like, you know, try to go to different people, like different cultures, like trying to understand how they interact with other people. And that's why the first year was like I actually have like my Filipino friends first, and after that, like, try to broaden my group of friends to other cultures, like, you know. But at the end of the day, it's good to actually to meet new people and to interact with them. Because for me, I really wanted to know lots of people, not just my Filipino community. For me, because actually I wanted to try, I really want to try different food. That's my first thought. The thing is, like, it's so funny. When I see a different person, I was thinking, like, oh, what does their food taste like? It's honestly like that. I was like, because, like, before in Philippines, when I saw, like, guy from Europe, oh, what does their food taste like? I want to taste it, like, you know. That's like, all food always comes to my mind. So I think that's why I'm a chef, because it's because of that. And yeah, and I think through food, actually, I was able to learn more about other cultures and how they treat other people. Because with the food, how you serve your food, it's how you present yourself as well. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's how I see things. If you share food to someone with love, man, your background, your culture, it's so damn good. So that's why I always look forward for the food first, and then I get to know their culture. So, and that's why I tried to reach out even with like Ben, the Colombian community. I went there. I want to try their food, their culture, their history, and so I was so happy. And then some of their traditional dances. So I love things like that. Cause we're not actually. I don't want to be stuck on one bubble, like being just Filipino, but we're the citizens of this world, like, you know, we're all humans. And then at the end of the day, if you don't know other cultures, like, you know, you're missing out big time. So that's my take on it.
Edward, I'm happy to share with you Italian food as long as you will share Filipinos food with me. Would you like to talk a little bit how it started your life in Darwin, and how was your life as international student, so we can probably have a comparison between that time and nowadays?
Well, yeah. I moved here in Darwin actually We were temporary resident already straight away, and because my dad came here a year ahead of us, he was on a 457 visa. And he took us as a secondary, to him. And yeah, I mean, like, after that we went here. Basically, we're just temporary resident yet. But the thing is, when we applied for our VR permanent residency, it took longer than we thought it would be, and I'm about over 18 already. So I ended up actually being an international student for a while, because we're paying international student fees for my university. Because the government needs us to do that to keep my visa still. So it was actually a long story. Like, it was some of a harder way, but at the end of the day, it all worked out well. But it was hard because we're like a resident on my high school, we're paying like normal, like, you know. But when I stepped on uni, that's why I had to go to ICAE, because we have to pay bigger, like, you know, like international student fees. Like, me and my sister, we're paying that one for at least a year and a half. And, well, thank God that we were able to, like, you know, like, because it's hard to pay international student fees. And that's why I know the struggle of the international students, how they try to cope up with this tuition fees every semester. And mamma mia, it's not a small amount of money, but I mean, it goes to your education as well. And that's what I think of it anyway. Like, you're getting something from it, so, like, you know, that it's gonna be worth it. Like, that's why my thinking before. So so yeah, that's how my pathway of being a resident here in Darwin became. But it was a harder route. But I have my auntie that we got her as an international student. She did a master's in her education. And yeah, I know the struggle of, like, because she was working two jobs, like morning, and then sometimes she works at nighttime as well. But good thing is like she actually stays with us, and then we helped her out with the, because she doesn't have to pay much rent and stuff like that, and you know, with the food we helped her out. And imagine, I couldn't just imagine like other people, like actually like, you know, other international students, how they cope up, like, you know, like with food sometimes you have to spend at least like, I don't know, $200 easily a week for like breakfast, lunch and dinner. And that it's not actually being what you want, it's getting all what you want. It's just actually what actually you need only. And it is hard, like, you know, like to save up and like earn money, like work and save up, and you can't spend it because you're saving up for your tuition fee and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's all gonna be always worth it. I mean, like the education here in Australia, like per se, is actually, the high quality of education is really good, and I'm happy that I was able to finish my studies here. And it's a blessing as well, like, you know, I'm not discrediting any education from other country, but the education system here in Darwin, in Australia, is actually really, really good, and it's actually going to be worth it in the end. And for the international students, I mean, like, I know the struggle, well, the struggle is really real, like, you know, it is real, like, you know, but especially these times, man. That's why my heart goes out for all the international students, like how they keeping up, like, you know. I mean, like, the struggle is not actually struggle for like waiting for the tuition fee to happen. It's the struggle is actually daily, like, you know, how you're gonna get this, how you're gonna get that, like, and you're thinking of your studies. I mean, like, I'm happy, like, I was thinking before only mostly of my studies. And because the tuition fee is actually, we worked out as a family, but imagine not having anyone, and you have to work everything for yourself. It's going to be really hard. That's why, for me, salute to all the international. I know lots of people, like international students, because I'm close to heaps of them, not just my Filipino friends, but other friends as well. And, man, like, salute to them, like, how you, and you guys as well, like, how you guys are, you know, still surviving and stuff like that, and how you're stronger than ever. For me, like, during these times, I've seen so much, so much go this, that's like a good Tagalog term, but yeah, I was like, it was just so happy to see your everyone's working together to get through things. So I think the word for that is bayanihan as well, like, you know, you work together as one, like, you know. And then because at the end of the day, as you guys said, we're all in this together, like, you know. And then yeah, we can only get through this with having each other, you know, on our back. So yeah,
Edward, I want to share something with you. We just realized recently, I mean, probably I can talk for me, that during when the coronavirus started, we were trying to help the community of the international students, but actually we were the first person that were struggling. So well, it's funny because we never thought about ourselves, but we were trying to help the community in somehow. And is it part of the Filipinos culture, help each other, or help the people who are in need?
It is, yes. It's part of our culture and part of our tradition, and on helping each other. Because, I mean, like, at the end of the day, growing up, like, people before, they growing up in the village, they only know each other anyway. So the community bond there is actually strong. And when anyone is struggling, everyone tries to make sure to help out each other. And I think as the years goes by, like, you know, that tradition of helping each other. Because before, when you move houses, like literally, when you move houses, like those bamboo houses, everyone has to carry the whole house. You're not moving houses like boxes, like everything, like getting moving away and going to another place. When you move house, you bring the whole house. That's why, and everyone was like, all the men were helping each other, carrying it through a, like a long bamboo,
like,
sticks.
Like
yeah, but like a traditional kubo, but we call it kubo, yeah. Okay. So it's really, that's why, I mean, like, that's the spirit of bayanihan actually started. And like, you know, if you have in trouble, I got your back. So that's pretty much it. Like everyone's back. Imagine I'm trying to give it lifting up like a big box, right? So one back will carry it. It's okay. It will be, it's gonna be hard. But imagine having two or three other backs carrying it, the load will lessen, right? So that's why I was like, everyone has, everyone give each other not just a hand, but your back as well. So, because at the end of the day, we got your back. So that's pretty much what by any hand is. And I think that's why it transcends to our culture already. And I'm not saying it's only Filipinos. It's gonna be different, like all other people. We have some sort of like helping each other out in small ways and others. Like some people help in different ways. Like, you know, some people help in financially. Some people help like through sharing their knowledge. Some people help physically. Like, you know, some people help like with sharing their foods. Like, you know, different. I deep inside of me, I believe that everyone actually cares for each other, and with that's the only good thing, the positive thing that I'm looking forward to, like during this pandemic. The silver lining in fear is like actually we actually saw that side of all of the people, not just Filipinos, but each and every one of us. That side of wanting to help each other first, like sacrificing, even though like that's what you said, like sometimes you don't think of like, ah, we're the ones actually need help, but we're ready to help each other first, like, you know, to make sure that everyone's okay first before thinking about yourself. And when I did my sharing of food, I'm not thinking about myself straight away. I was thinking of other people straight away, like, you know, because for me, like, you know, if you're blessed with something, for me, because we're all in channels of blessings, that's what I believe in, and that's why I want to share it to other people as well. And everything that I have is not actually mine to, because after, at the end of the day, when we die, our riches actually will be like, you know, We can't bring it to our afterlife, you know what I mean? It's just like the money will be just like flying there. Like it probably someone will, your family will have it, but you know, at the end of the day, we can't bring it after, like, you know. So that's why for me, I believe like sharing is always the best thing to do, and helping each other out. Doesn't matter what your circumstances, everyone can help. Like, you know, everyone cares for each other. So that's why I'm happy that this pandemic actually brought out from each and every one of us. So,
yeah. I really love to listen to you, Edward. It's really inspiring and interesting how you tell the stories and your experiences. If there would be now like a new Filipino student who would come to Darwin, how can Bayanihan help him, and how could he approach you guys? And additionally, how long does the Bayanihan project or idea exist?
All right, so you're asking if there's a new student coming in, or
if there will be a new Filipino student.
Okay, I mean, like with the Bayanihan, because I think I can speak for them as well, like because they're all of them are actually my close friends, and I'm happy helping them out as well. So I think all they have to do is actually just approach. I mean, like, you know, the help is always there, and sometimes I know that people are actually so tentative for seeking for help, because at the end of the day, sometimes I know like it's not everyone, but there's gonna be some people that so tentative to ask for help, because for them, like, sometimes their dignity, sometimes their, like, you know, their personality, like sometimes they have to eat their pride, like, you know, something like that. And I think with what we are doing, like as well with Bayanihan and with Kindness Shake, we try to maintain that dignity for each other one, and we try to make it like an approach that it's actually friendly approach, and not just like we're giving you this because you don't have any, but we're giving you this because you're part of us. That's pretty much it. Like, you know, we are one. Like, you know, if we're struggling, we'll help you. Sometimes we've struggled before, like people will help you as well. So the help is always there. And then with Bayanihan, you can just approach the people there, and you can register online, and they give, what they actually do is actually they give you 100 points to go around, like all these donated items, grocery items, all your needs. So basically it's actually pretty much like it's like a market, like that, and everything's there. Even fresh vegetables are there, and frozen meat and stuff like that. So you can actually spend your 100 points. I'm like, actually, I tried one time, like, using, like, 100 points. And I'm like, 100 points is like, a lot. Like, you know, I can actually survive you, like, for, like... It was good. I was actually, when I went there for one time, to volunteer. Like, I actually went there lots of times. But it was actually a good experience, like, you know, like, you know, and the fun of, like, I think that's the spirit of the Filipino community spirit, right? Trying to, it's always like making sure that everyone smiles. And I don't know if you notice that mostly, like, if you see Filipinos, they tend to smile. Sometimes it's weird, they're smiling by themselves, but that's actually like a trait of being a Filipino, because we have this tagline. It says it's more fun in the Philippines, but I think it's more fun in the Philippines because people there are actually fun, and then they want to actually don't want to forget what they're struggling with, but they want to make sure everyone has a smile in their face. And I think with both Bayanihan and Kainashek, we all achieved that, like, you know. And even with my the Everyone Cares before, like, you know, that's what we wanted before, like, you know, like, you know, help each other, like, you know, through whatever circumstances they're dealing with. Like, some of them, like, it's not even international students, but they were struggling, they didn't have work, so we'll lend a hand, like, you know, we'll give you like whatever we can, like, you know. So yeah.
So I have a question about the Philippines. Are there many people, or are there especially many young people who are leaving the Philippines? Because I know, for example, in my home country in Croatia, there are buses and ships of young people who are leaving the country because they don't see like any future there. There are not enough jobs, or the government is corrupt and things like that. So they are leaving. How is the situation in the Philippines? And how do the people in the Philippines think about those who are leaving the country?
All right, that's a good question. Like, for me, like, what I actually think is, actually, when you leave your country, we have this word called OFW, which is Overseas Filipino Workers. And OFW sometimes couldn't be any, like, it's not actually like a happy thought. Like, before, it was actually a parent would leave their child to work abroad to make sure they survive, like, for their education and everything. And it's not just basically, like, I mean, like, Philippines is actually the land area of the Philippines. You actually can fit it in, like, in NT. You can fit it in NT. So, but the population in the Philippines now is actually more than 104 million Filipinos. And imagine that, like, you know. And I think in each every country has their struggles. Philippines has, we have our own struggles and stuff like that. We have our government sometimes, like, you know, it's past and present. And I don't want to blame, like, governments, like, stuff like that, because I don't want to go too political and stuff like that. So what I believe in is actually, if a person leaves the country, sometimes not because of, like, a corrupt government or anything, but sometimes they want a better future. And of course, like, you know, if you can't get it in your country, like, you know, sometimes you're looking for a different country, but sometimes it's also like a personal choice. Like, their way of living sometimes could be different from you. I mean, like, I know heaps of people, like, they will stay still in the country because they're satisfied on what they have. I'm not trying to say that if you go abroad, like, try to dream, like, bigger, it's a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. I mean, each and everyone has our own perspective and things. Each and everyone has our things to, like, our needs and stuff like that, and our dreams as well. So it all varies in different person, families, and, like, I mean, like, you know, I could be, if my parents didn't go away from the Philippines, if we didn't go to Australia, I would have probably went to the USA, because, like, I know we have this USA dream, like, you know, because we were colonized by lots of countries, and we were, like, colonized by Spain for long time, and then Japan, and then USA, and sometimes that's why USA was the last one. That's why we have this history of, like, wanting to be like them, like, you know, because, like, you know, sometimes, like, because they were, like, above us, like, you know, just trying to, like, you know, put up your stature of life, like, you know. So that, for me, I believe that, you know, because I don't want to be, like, you know, go deeper into that, like, because I believe that you can still have a better life if you work hard and pursue your dreams. Cause at the end of the day, if someone will give you, like, it's like this, that concept of, like, sorry, having, like, a fish, like, you know, cause if you hand someone fish straight away, they tend to relax and just wait for the next fish for you to give. But if you teach someone to catch fish, they will know how to survive for a long time, and then they can share that knowledge to other people. And I think in not just in the Philippines, but in lots of other countries, if we can teach our citizens or our people to catch fish, rather than just like, you know, spoon feeding them, we will be able to survive more. And I am a believer of, if you work hard for something, you will be able to achieve it. And yes, some people will say like, oh, but our situations are different. Yes, it is going to be situational. Like sometimes some poor people actually who lives in the poverty area, because I always go to the slums in the Philippines as well. And honestly, like for me, they work hard. And I don't know if I can say that, but they were like the happiest people that I actually met. I'm not even kidding. Like when I went there, their smile in their faces, seeing someone like trying to help them, is so genuine. And they were working hard. I mean, like, they were actually going through piles of rubbish and stuff, like, to look forward something to salvage, something to eat, something to sell, whatever, anything that they can actually make use of. And I was like, for me, looking at them, like, I was my heart breaks for them. But at the end of the day, like, the joy that they have doing what they do, like, they're working hard. This kid is actually like, he showed me something like from the tip that they had. So he grabbed this one piece of bag. I was like, oh, I'm gonna bring this to my mom. He was so happy. And then I was like, okay. So I walked with him. Actually, there's like a group of us, so we walked with him to their place. And he was so happy sharing this to his mom. I was like, hey, and his mom was like so happy, like, oh, like, you know, okay, I'm so proud of, like, as young as I was, he was only, I think it was 8 or 9 years old, he was working for his family. And then some people will think like, oh, you're too young to work and blah, blah, blah. So, but I mean, like, for me, the heart of that kid, you can't actually judge the heart of the kid. He's so pure, and then he really wanted to help his family. And for me, I was like, because if you look in a different perspective, like, oh, that's child laboring. Like, you know, we could easily say that. But at the end of the day, I mean, like, he was so happy helping his family. And then his mom, because his mom is actually looking after his two other siblings. And his dad passed away already as young as he was. And he has to, like, help, because he was the oldest son. And, you know, it could break my heart, but it can actually make my heart. I was like, my heart was filled when I saw like that, you know, that passion that he has on helping. I mean, like, that's why when we see things differently, I was like, that's why we should always change our perspective. Sometimes we can see things like that, like, oh, the corruption's because of all of this. Like, you know, we can always say that. There's always going to be corruption. There's always going to be someone who will take advantage of each and every situation. But if we, as a citizen of, like, this world, if we could actually look through things in different perspective, we will actually be in a better place, like, you know. And sometimes that's what we were looking for. If we go out away from a country, we look for a better place. And sometimes it only takes a change of perspective for that to happen, like, you know. I don't know if that answers your question, like, you know.
Edward, that answers my question more than enough. I can tell you that. I think you should write a book one day, because you have actually really a lot to talk and a lot to explain. And I agree with the point that you said. If everyone, if everyone would be a little bit more tolerant all over the world, we could have a better place, definitely. You were talking about dreams. So tell me about your dream, because you're actually a very passionate cook. Do you have a dream to have your own restaurant or your own Michelin star? Or do you want to have one day a restaurant chain? How does it look?
Well, yeah, that was a good... Thanks for the question. Because my dream growing up, like, I really wanted to be a chef. Like, you know, I have three things that I was dreaming of. I want to be a full-time chef. I want to have some awards, like being a chef. And I want to have my own restaurant, all right? So those three things I was, like, dreaming of when I was young. And when I was growing up, like, we have this catering business in the Philippines, and I tried to, like, you know, like, make sure that I'm on hand, like, you know, like, because I was, like, I started cooking when I was 7, all right? So we were, like, cooking, like, with my mom. My mom taught me one dish and then ended up, like, being another dish, like, you know. And I think when you want to eat, when you know what food tastes like. You can actually cook. That's what my motto when I was young. So I was like, everyone can cook. I was like, that's why I was pushing myself. Even I was young, I can cook. So that's my dream, to be a chef. So to cut the long story short, went to Australia here. And the opportunity was there already. Like, you know, like I can study cooking since like, even though I'm still in high school, like year 12, I can study culinary in CD already. So I did year 12. So year 12, like high school year 12, sorry. So I can actually, while still in high school, I was doing certificate 2 in commercial cookery in CDU in Palmerston. So I was so happy. I was so passionate. I was like, this is it. I was like living my dream already. Like, and then I got a job at the airport resort, and then a chef like trusted me like to be like, you know, because I was still young. I was 16 when I had my first job. So I was like, okay. I was like, you know, like all this veteran chefs, like I was like okay, I'm trying to belong myself, like, you know. And then I worked myself up, like, you know, over a lot for 5 years and that. And I was like, okay, like, you know. And then there's an opportunity for me to join a competition. I was like, okay. I was like, you know. And we won. I was like, we won like one of the best dessert and then some other awards. And I was like, I was so happy. I was like, you know, I was like, I'm a chef already, and then I'm having some awards. It's like, okay. I was like, okay, I'm looking for my own restaurant now. And then there's an opportunity for me to go to Melbourne, to go in a fine dining restaurant. And I was like, okay, I'm going to grab the opportunity. So I went to Melbourne. That's why I stayed there. I lived there for 4 years. So while there in Melbourne, after 8 months, that fine dining restaurant actually got shut down because the owner got sick, and he can't really fully run the restaurant. And I was like, okay, I was like in limbo. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I was like on my, like, I'm trying to get, like, you know, to where I want. And then I met these guys, like they're Greek, Greek and Italian guys. What was actually an idea of having a restaurant of like a Filipino influence. Like we have a dampa called in the Philippines, which actually you go to a marketplace, buy your fresh seafood or fish or whatever isn't available there, and then you ask the chefs to cook it for you the way you wanted it. And that's the idea we had. So we had there, it was, that is basically, we have like a tank, like, and then you can see like all this fresh fish coming from the day, like all fresh, like, and then you can choose whatever you want, and then we'll cook it the way you want it. Like, we can grill it, we can make it a fish and chips, we can make it like a stir fry, we can make it a soup, whatever you want. We can put like if with like crabs, we can make it like even Singaporean style crabs. So that's it, that's the idea. I'm on the point of my running of my restaurant already. So those three things ticked already. I was like, you know, I had my dream. And then after achieving your dream, you tend to dream bigger, right? So I was like, okay, after this, we'll probably do another restaurant bigger than this. But the thing is, before I call it like a setback, but now I call it as a lesson. I injured my back. I had 3 discs that popped out. So basically, you can think of what happened already. So basically, that happened that night. That happened was actually our soft opening of the restaurant. Our grand opening, that happened Saturday. Our grand opening was on a Monday. And imagine like the struggle that went through, like, because I was so down, man. I was living my dream. Those 3 things I have already. And for you to be like, the doctor told me like, oh, sorry, you can't work for at least a year. I was like, a year, so okay, but I can still, like, you know. But and he told me the worst news that I had was actually you'll be struggling to walk for at least 6 to 8 months. And I was like, and true to the word, I was able to walk until like a year. So, and why am I sharing this to you guys? So I was like, because I had my dreams already, because we were talking about dreams. I'm a person that who believes in dreams and stuff like that. And with that, I was like, oh, my dreams is caught. That's what my thought before, but it came to my mind, like, you know, because I just want to share. I'm Christian as well, and there's like one specific verse that struck me the most. Is like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and that gave me that boost that I needed. And what I thought of, like, I had those 3 dreams I've achieved it already, so my dream is actually more focused on myself. I want to, my dream now is actually I want to focus it on other people. And from my hospital bed until I was bedridden at home for like 3 months, I was in the hospital for like 2 months. And then I was bedridden at home, like, you know, because I couldn't really do much. Like, that's why I gained 20 kilos from that. Like, you know, I got depressed, man, honestly. And what I did was actually made this dream to share it, to share whatever I have to other people. And that's when my 413 feeding ministry started. And after that, I was like, when I start walking again, I really want to go back first to the Philippines to go there and share. Because I believe my talent is in cooking, and I want to share them using my talent to provide food for the less people. And that became my dream. So that's why it all connected to Until Everyone Cares, like with international students, because that dream became reality already. So like, so I was working with that for 4 years now. We went to Philippines and we went to India to provide food, free food, and lots of, like, we share music as well, teach them arts and crafts. So basically a small livelihood as well for other people. So basically that's the plan. And then when COVID happened, I was like, we were supposed to go April to the Philippines together with local artists, singers here in Darwin. We were going to share our talented music. We're going to share them, like teach them guitar and voice lessons, and then provide food for them. But that didn't happen because of COVID. And I was like, but that's my dream. Because we were making, that's the dream of me, where, like, bringing my friends, sharing to other people. But at the end of the day, like, you know, that's why we always adjust to the situation given before us. And I was like, why can't I help other people? Like, we're here in Darwin. Like, I know people are struggling already. And that's why the dream became to help other people. And it started with international students as well. So, yeah, to cut the long story short, like, you know, that's how I transcended my dream. It's not basically all about me anymore. My dream is actually to reach out to other people and help them out and support them achieve their dreams as well. So, you know.
Edward, I have a question. It's a little bit different from the others, but I heard this expression from you, Mamma Mia, and it's an Italian expression. So is it also from Filipinos people?
No, it's actually, I think it's from the group, the Mamma Mia, Abba, yeah. Like, because Filipinos love our music. You can hear karaoke is everywhere, even in the streets. It was like, that's why, like, our expression sometimes comes from, like, a song. It's like Mamma Mia, like, here we go. So it's pretty much like that. And then, like, sometimes you can hear, like, lots of, like, expressions from a song. Like, I couldn't pinpoint anything at the moment, but I'll tell you some of, like, the flippant expressions that mostly come from a song. So yeah, it was funny that you asked that. I was like that's why we got it, like, from the song, like, from and, like, well, not just me, like, some of our family friends as well, you can hear them, like, oh, the Mamma Mia. I was like and, like, it because, like, we tried to move away from cursing, bad words and stuff like that. And that's why we tend to have this different kind of expressions. And sometimes, like, whatever, sometimes we can see, like, outside there, like, I don't know, like, oh, little green truck. Sometimes we can be, that could be our expression. Oh, little green truck. Something like that, you know? Something random, like, out of nowhere. Like, you can, like, instead of you cursing, like, do swear words, stuff like that. We tend to change it with something random. And that's one of it, Mamma Mia.
So, Edward, I wanted to ask, how did it happen that you landed on the streaming platform Netflix? And how did you come into that movie, Top End Wedding?
So with the Top End Wedding, actually, because we have this called Darwin Community Arts, and you have your profile there, and then they will, if they're looking for some, like, specific actors or, like, models on an act, they will look for you. And they sent me an email first for a photo shoot. And then right after that photo shoot, I had this email, like, looking for an extra person for top-end wedding with no speaking roles, but they're going to be heaps of scenes. They're going to be there. I was like, and it's paid role. I was like, okay, accept. I was like, okay, how can I say no? And then because they were looking at my profile already, like their facial profile. And then I think that's one of their looking for. And I was just like, I'm just happy I was part of it. My happiness was double when they told me like it's gonna be on Netflix. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna see myself on Netflix now.
And so yeah, you were such a good actor, so you also started your own YouTube channel. What's the goal of that YouTube channel, and how often do you produce videos?
Well, with my channel, Take It Easy, it's actually I really want to share, because I want to have another platform to share to other people, and then through that is actually I can share my cooking techniques, share some, like sometimes I do giveaways as well, because I really want to people to, like, you know, like I just want to share to other people. And the ultimate goal for that is actually, of course, I want to, like, there's gonna be another platform to earn money, right? Because with my situation right now, I can't work full time anymore, and this is another platform, an opportunity for me to earn money, not just to earn money, but to share it to other people as well. And then that's my motto from the start. And then that's why I told my sister, that's why we work together with my sister Eunice Ocampo, that we'll work together until we get to the goal that we're actually getting to get monetized on YouTube, and with that we can actually help other people more than what we can do now. So it's like another sort of platform, another source of, like, God willing, income to help other people as well. So that's the goal of it, and especially I want to share to people like what I do, like in my life. So like it's basically like just like, you know, like It's like Facebook for me. Like, you know, it's not like a different kind of like movie setup. It's actually like my vlogs are more of like easygoing, funny. That's why it's like, you know, taking things easy, like, you know, and yeah, cookies are pretty much like, you know, giving you like techniques. And my first episodes was actually more about supporting local, going around here in Darwin, like tasting their food, like spending the money through local people, like, you know, to support them during this pandemic. So, and my channel could still really evolve, but at the end of the day, that's more of like the side we're leaning to supporting local businesses at the moment, and yeah, sharing to others and giving some giveaways to other people as well. So yeah,
what can I say, Edward? Amazing story. I would really like to use this quote that I like. It's falling down 8 times. No, 7 times and wake up 8. Yeah, so yeah, I am very surprised when you said that you got injured and you were very depressed, but you had the strength to wake up and say, okay, it's time to do something. I need to achieve my real dream, and it's very surprised. And what can I say, Dennis? Amazing story. Do you want to add something more, or just leave the last words to our guests? Edward, would you like to close our podcast with the last words for our listeners and maybe some suggestion or advices for the international students?
So, well, I could say to the international students, so don't give up always. Don't lose hope. And we're all in this together, and then we will heal as one, and, like, you know, and then our world will be a better place if everyone will actually cares for each other. So I think that sounds about it.
Because we are in this
together.